Jackson, W266 DR Waukesha. Always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is the CBS World News Roundup Late Edition, sponsored by Rocket Mortgage.
I'm Monica Ricks in New York. The January 6th committee recommends criminal charges against former President Trump.
Evidence we've gathered points to further action beyond the power of this committee or the Congress to help ensure accountability under law. Accountability that can only be found in the criminal justice system.
The committee recommending the DOJ charge Trump with obstruction of an official proceeding, conspiracy to defraud the government, conspiracy to make a false statement, and inciting, aiding, or assisting an insurrection.
CBS's Deborah Alfarone says a conviction would ban Trump from running in 2024. Trump's former lawyer, John Eastman.
It's a dangerous step that this committee, it seems to me, has undertaken. I'll say more than dangerous. It is a Stalinist tactic, and we ought to be opposing it with all of our might.
Eastman pleaded the fifth when he testified back in June. The end of Title 42 is on hold for now. CBS's Matt Piper.
Chief Supreme Court Justice John Roberts has temporarily blocked the Biden administration from ending a pandemic-era policy of rapidly expelling migrants caught at the U.S.-Mexico border. What's known as Title 42 was set to end Wednesday, and a host of migrants have been holed up at the border awaiting that to happen so that they can cross into the U.S. Roberts' decision came with the request of Republican officials in 19 states, led by Arizona and Louisiana.
FTX founder Sam Bankman-Fried may be extradited from the Bahamas soon.
A small police convoy escorted the prison van taking Sam Bankman-Fried to a courthouse in the Bahamas. There, he was expected to drop his opposition to extradition to the U.S., where he's facing 8 charges over the collapse of his cryptocurrency company, FTX. But his lawyers told the court the 30-year-old wants to see the U.S. indictment against him first. So back he went to the notoriously squalid Foxhall prison. Vicky Barker, CBS News.
Russia launched another wave of drone attacks in Ukraine as President Putin traveled to Belarus for more military support. State Department spokesman Ned Price.
We've also made clear to Belarus that if it allows its territory to be used for an attack on Ukraine, it would face a swift and decisive response from the United States and our allies and partners.
Parts of the South could feel the freeze this week. CBS meteorologist David Parkinson.
Sub-freezing temperatures in Texas with wind chills far below that. In fact, our high temperature as we go into the day on Thursday in the Texas Panhandle might be as low as a single digit.
A blizzard could hit the Midwest and Great Lakes region. This is CBS News.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage. Whether you're looking to purchase a new home or refinance yours, Rocket Mortgage can help you get there. For home loan solutions that fit your life, Rocket.
The Shaw, 101 FM, WAUK 540 AM, Waukesha's only news talk station.
For Civic Media News, I'm Terry Bell. The New York University Law School last week published a case study exploring the different Wisconsin laws fake Trump electors may have broken after the 2020 election. The report listed 5 different charges State Attorney General Josh Call could pursue, including forgery, falsely assuming to act as a public officer, and misconduct in public office. Call tells Channel 27 in Madison he's aware of that report, but that he'll wait until after the federal investigation is over before deciding to pursue any state charges. We're keeping an eye on the potential for a winter storm that could complicate people's holiday travel plans. The storm could start Wednesday night and last into Friday. After that, temperatures are forecast to plunge into highs in the single digits into the Christmas holiday weekend. In sports, the Packers host the Rams tonight. The Bucks are at New Orleans. You're listening to The Shaw, 101 FM, WAUK 540 AM.
Women hear a lot about self-care these days. Advice on ways to relax, exercise, eat healthy, and more. Those are all great. But one of the most important self-care steps we can take is making sure we're financially secure later in life. That means saving money for retirement. It's never too late to start. And it's the kind of self-care that brings peace of mind that lasts. For small steps you can take to save for retirement, visit WeSaySaveIt.org. That's WeSaySaveIt.org. A message from AARP and the Ad Council.
Hey there, fellow working class heroes. I'm Rick Smith, host of The Rick Smith Show. And we are now on the air in Waukesha, live weeknights, 8 to 10 p.m., right here on WAUK 540 AM, 101 FM, The Shaw. Turn on, tune in, and help us rebuild the American dream. Check out our website at thericksmithshow.com. The Rick Smith Show, where working people come to talk. Weeknights, 8 to 10 p.m., right here on WAUK 540 AM, 101 FM, The Shaw.
I'm Pat Kreitlow from Up North News. On an earlier edition, we talked to three women, med students, about whether they're going to stay in Wisconsin to practice medicine.
All this Roe v. Wade stuff, and now OBGYN's hands are so tied. I don't want to go through 12 years of training to have some person that didn't do training tell me how to do my job.
It is not a binary choice. You're for or against abortion. It is a healthcare decision. We all have those stories, and people want to hear them.
Don't miss the real stories here on Up North News.
The Shaw 101 FM, your fix for progressive talk from Big Bend to Menominee Falls. Always streaming at WAUK. Native Roots Radio is an independent product and has a joint sales agreement with Civic Media. Enjoy.
Restaurants and food purveyors at eatlocalminnesota.com.
Portions of Native Roots Radio may be pre-recorded.
It's a good day to be indigenous.
Get up, stand up.
They are going to become more brutal.
Couldn't cut. He didn't cut a baby.
Because all the hippies were trying to be Indians anyway.
They're going to become more repressive. Because it's a matter of dollars and their illusionary concepts of power.
Hey, Victor.
We must live in balance with the earth.
And also with recent happenings at Wounded Knee.
I am awake.
Welcome to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and I'm your host, Wakunja Hade. Hey, Kutagi, to all my friends and relatives in four directions. You are listening to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and I'm your host, Robert Pilot, and we discuss local and national Native news and events. And as you know, Native issues are human issues, and human issues are Native issues. And I want to say this portion is supported by Minsure. We are a couple of talking... I was reading the whole thing, Angelica. I read the directions. I should be reading... Need health insurance, but don't know where to start? Minsure has free expert help that will walk you through your options and find a plan that saves you money. Angelica, I was going to read here a couple talking points to read live. So, hey, it's Monday. And I want to welcome, I want to say Ogama all the time. Angelica, who's working here on Native Roots Radio 2, and she's going to be doing the news today. And I just want to welcome Angelica with the news you don't hear anywhere else. Welcome, Angelica.
Awesome. Thank you so much, Robert. Welcome, everyone. My name is Angelica Allery, Nibi Nabekwe, Ndish Nakaz, Mayangan, and Dudem. So I have a few things to share today. So after 2.5 years of legal battles, the state of South Dakota has finally and officially dismissed all charges against President and CEO of NDN Collective, Nick Tilson. Tilson, who is a part of the Oglala Lakota Nation, and 21 other treaty defenders were charged with misdemeanors of a July 3rd, 2020 protest when former President Donald Trump visited the Black Hills as part of Trump's speaking event at Mount Rushmore for an Independence Day celebration. Tilson was the only person to be charged with felonies from alleged robbery and assault of a law enforcement officer. Here's a quote from Tilson himself. "The fact that I've gone from facing 17 years in prison to all charges dismissed is not a coincidence or an act of justice. It's evidence that the charges were bogus from the start. We only won because we had effective tools and a strong network to fight them and did not back down until we had exhausted the system that was built to exhaust us." For any listeners who don't know, NDN Collective is an Indigenous-led organization dedicated to building Indigenous power through organizing, activism, philanthropy, grant-making, capacity building, and narrative change. We are creating sustainable solutions on Indigenous terms. Next, we will cover information collected by the Missing and Murdered Native Hawaiian Women's and Girls Task Force report and what the U.S. And U.S. military's involvement. So here's some facts that you may not know, but more than a quarter of missing girls in Hawaii are Native Hawaiian. Hawaii has the 8th highest rate of missing persons per capita in the nation at 7.5 missing people per 100,000 residents. The average profile of a missing child in Hawaii is 15-year-old female who is Native Hawaiian missing from Oahu. In 2019, was the first time a law enforcement in Hawaii conducted a criminal intervention into sexual predators through Operation Keiki Shield. One of the more disturbing findings of the report was the role of service members in the abuse of children. This information is publicly available data and that was discovered here in the 2022 report that showed that 38% of those arrested for soliciting sex online from law enforcement posing as a 13-year-old during undercover operations were actually active duty military personnel. The report said, since then, the 2019 Operation Keiki Shield, officials say there have been 28 arrests and 16 convictions so far. Since then, in 2022, this past year, was the first time a U.S. military officer was held accountable for trafficking Native American girls. Native Hawaiians are formally recognized by the federal government as Indigenous people impacted by the MMIWG crisis. And that is just this past year. So there's a lot of movement that needs to come further to, you know, help in the search and justice for missing and murdered Indigenous relatives, but also to be in support and be there for our Native sisters, men, women, and children. So another news article that we had come across is a new film about Chief Standing Bear from the Ponca tribe. So the Ponca tribe of Nebraska and the Ponca tribe of Oklahoma formally approved the creation of the historical drama to depict the 1879 landmark trial of Standing Bear versus the United States of America. The trial helped establish the rights for all Native Americans to be considered human beings under the U.S. law. I Am a Man is an important Native American story that needs to be told. We are proud to offer our film incentive to such a project, said Jennifer Lauren, Senior Director of Cherokee Nation Film and its original content. Some more interesting information that we have that I'd like to talk with Robert Pilot about is that the St. Paul School Board has ended $9 million in investment in fossil fuels, citing equity and justice. The school board has also voted not to invest in private prisons. The school district doesn't invest in prisons currently, but the vote will prevent that from happening in the near future. And I'd like to ask Mr. Robert Pilot, what do you think about that?
First of all, I want to say you're doing a great job, Angelica. And what I think about that is being a former St. Paul public school teacher is it's really important who you elect all the way from school board all the way up to president. And the school board's making these kind of decisions, Angelica, that we're proud of being former alumni of the St. Paul schools. That makes me happy that they see these things and are doing what they say they're going to do. And, you know, who you elect in school boards is so important, right?
Mm-hmm. Very true. And I, you know, am a former student of St. Paul Public Schools, and I can say that I am really grateful to hear that type of news and to carry it forward and to present that for all of you who are listening. We can make change, and it's very true.
Right. And voting, that's why we talk about here on Native Roots Radio is how important it is to vote and have people that are like-minded represent you. And so if you're not, you know, if you're not in the game, if you're not in the on the table, you're being what serves. So, you know, we have to really stay awake, you know, and we don't use that as a negative condemnation here on Native Roots Radio. We are awake. And so everyone, great job in Minnesota and especially St. Paul about voting in some progressive people that don't talk on both sides of their mouth. You know, they're doing things that they say they're going to do. And they're also, I'm proud of being living in St. Paul and here the school board's not going to be supporting pipelines and all these things that, that they shouldn't be, you know, they shouldn't be, you know, fossil fuels, equity, injustice. Those are big things that, you know, an inner city school is all about. And it's good to see the leadership take that stance. So Angelica, how's it going? This is like, you've been on the show a bunch of times. How's it going with the news there? How are you liking that? Is it, Ogama makes it seem easy, doesn't she?
Yeah, no, it's, I can see how things might be able to run more smoothly, but, it is my first time. So, thank you to all the listeners for, you know, cutting me some slack. No,
you know, what's really cool, Angelica, too, I got to say this, we're on 5 days a week. So if I have like a really, really terrible show, then I can, I don't have to think about it all week like I used to when we first came on. We were only on once a week. Now I go, oh, well, that show is gone. All right, let's go do the next one and do better. But you did great. I can't wait. You always have to get that first one under your belt. And I really appreciate you and really appreciate you coming aboard and helping out. It's a big deal. And like Alice said, Alice is one of our positive people. Great job, Angelica. All right. Hey, we're listening to Native Roots. You're listening to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake. And up next, Ruth Buffalo. We're checking in with Ruth. We'll be right back after the short break. Stay with us.
I heard sex trafficking happens a lot in Indian country. What is that?
Here are some of the real reasons why sex trafficking happens in Indian country. Unequal gender roles that were forced on us by colonization. Communities don't have enough resources. Silence around domestic and sexual violence. Lack of attention and justice for missing and murdered indigenous people. There's a lot of behavior that keeps our communities out of balance. These are just a few true reasons why Native communities are targeted by traffickers. When these acts of violence happen in our communities, it opens us all up for exploitation.
Sponsored by the Minnesota Indian Women's Sexual Assault Coalition.
Health insurance that fits my budget? I'm covered. I needed health coverage I could count on and afford. MinSure helped me find a plan that works for me, and they helped me save money. Did you know that most Minnesotans qualify for savings through MinSure? And they have free experts who can help you sign up for coverage. Go to MinSure.org today and get started and get covered. That's MNSure.org. MNSure.org.
Hey, Ogama, I've been hearing a lot about this term, climate justice. What is that?
Climate justice is recognizing that the negative impacts of climate change don't affect all people equally. It also means transitioning from a fossil fuel-based economy to a more sustainable future. MN350 is one of the groups that's pushing for this transition to protect our futures. You can even get involved, too.
That's great, especially since I'm concerned about pipeline projects like Line 3. How can I help MN350?
Just find them on Facebook or visit mn350.org.
Minnesota has the only original wolf population in the continental United States, and 80% of Minnesotans believe the wolf should be protected. Howling for Wolves is asking Minnesotans to respect our true wildlife manager, the wolf. Their survival is critical to our ecosystems, our communities, and even our economy. As highly intelligent animals with strong social bonds, Minnesota wolves deserve to be protected and admired. Learn more at howlingforwolves.org. Let's live and let howl.
Welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot. Hey, this portion is supported by Hauling for Wolves, making wolves a tradition here. And also the portion of the show is brought to you by MN350, a grassroots organization fighting for climate justice. We have Ruth Buffalo with us, and we are so excited. We haven't talked to you in a couple of weeks. Ruth, welcome. And what a great battle you put on there. Gerrymandering is a thing, and we're really excited that you're on, and I haven't talked to you in a couple weeks, and, you know, we know you're going to land on your feet and do a lot of good things forward. So thank you so much for stopping in, really, and you are an idol of mine, and I idolize you, and you've been doing great work for these last years and years, so great to have you on again.
Mazagadads, thank you. It's good to be in this virtual space with you, and
Yeah, always an honor to be asked to come back on the show. So thank you for inviting me.
Absolutely. So your last election didn't go the way we wanted it to, but the journey's the reward. And I feel like you were out there going, you know, I was watching your videos every day and you were knocking on those doors and really engaging people. And I don't know, it was just heartwarming to see all that great work and all the support that you got from your family and the people that support you there, and number one, family.
Yes. Yeah, I'm so thankful for all of the supporters and, you know, our ancestors, those that have gone before us, our creator, family, for sure, and the many friends I've made throughout this political arena. But yes, definitely the work does not stop. The work continues, although the temporary title goes. And so we've been really busy here in the Fargo-Moorhead area, making sure that our relatives are safe and getting connected to resources. We have unfortunately an overrepresentation of our unhoused relatives who still get targeted for sex and human trafficking. So it's a very real issue that that we see day in and day out here in the Fargo-Moorhead Metro.
You know, what's important for me, too, we have Ayana, who's working in the background. She's doing stuff in the background. She's 16. We have Angelica on here, who's a young warrior. And you are such a great example. And I've always said that to you and, like, the lieutenant governor here is, like, thank you for sticking your neck out there. And you look like the people... You know, you're representing people that look like you, and that's a huge deal. So, I mean, I'm always emotional on the show, it seems like, but I really, really, truly mean that you really are doing great work, and you're sticking your neck out there, and it's hard for me to complete my sentences right now, but you're doing great, Ruth. Thank you so much.
Yeah, thank you. I have my oldest daughter here, not far from me, and she's 19. And so it definitely puts things into perspective. And I thank you so much for your kind words. And it's amazing to meet you, Angelica, virtually, you know, being 16, that, you know, makes me almost get teary eyed too, because I'm just trying to do the best I can from within my reach. And I am a mom. And so I like to take my kids with me to the different things that I'm involved in when I can. And so my 19-year-old daughter has been with me during all of my kids and husband, mom, sisters, brothers, everybody has been with me. We first stepped into this political arena in 2016. I was just looking to get involved with the Native vote in North Dakota, was just finishing up grad school at NDSU in public health, and then was asked to run for office. And at that time, we were organizing a peaceful demonstration, a classmate and I, both of us moms, but just really wanted to prevent unkind rhetoric from trickling back into the classrooms from an unkind comedian's show. And so the venue wasn't up for canceling the show. And so we just did the next best thing, which was a peaceful demonstration across the street. And but our thinking then was, you know, how and when will things change? You know, because we didn't want our children to go through the same things we experienced. And of course, you know, we always want better for the next generation. So it's really been at the heart of a lot of these efforts that force us to step outside of our comfort zone. So.
Yeah, definitely. And, you know, I guess I'm excited too for your future too, because I know you know a lot of cool people out there, you know, that will support you in the future here. So I'm excited to see what's next for Ruth Buffalo. And, I know you probably have stuff cooking you don't want to talk about, but I'm excited for you because, you know, there's a lot of people that are out there and you're a doer, and you're a doer. And I know you're involved in a lot of things. And I'm just really excited for you and excited to hear what's coming up next.
Yeah, thank you. I really don't have There are different options out there, but like I mentioned earlier, the work continues, and it's really to find ways to keep our relatives safe and protected, and to find long-term solutions, so which really calls for addressing the upstream root causes to a lot of the issues that we face today. But yeah, it's been crazy. I know one of my sister friends has encouraged me, you know, during this time to rest, and she calls it revolutionary rest. But you know, I've tried to get some of that in too. But what's been interesting to me is that since the election, I've had constant, which I'm thankful for. I've had constant inquiries and people reaching out who need help more than before. And so, just trying to do our best to connect, be a connector, connect people to local resources. But we're also finding a lot of strong and loud gaps within the existing systems. And so, you know, definitely want to continue partnering with other organizations and agencies, but really trying to find ways to prevent further tragedies from happening on all fronts. So,
yeah. And, you know, it's crazy, Ruth, that we have this next week here in Minnesota, it's going to be colder than cold. And what about our homeless people? You know, we weren't homeless until 1492. And a lot of, if you remember a few years ago, we had a lot of that going on in Minneapolis with the Wall of Forgotten Natives. And it's just that time of year where we're just worried about our relatives that are out there in the cold too.
Yeah, definitely. It really is a sense of urgency. And, you know, we do have to find long-term solutions rather than, you know, just Band-Aids. And it's still something, you know, what the work that has been and is being done. But yeah, we're definitely seeing loud gaps within the system. And so how do we approach that in a good way and educate those within those structures that change needs to happen, and maybe the way things are being done are not particularly working? And so how do we find new approaches and think outside of the box, so to speak, but nothing new to our Indigenous communities, because our Indigenous communities are very much rooted in an already existing and sophisticated and comprehensive lens that includes everybody, and, you know, is really strong in spirituality and community and family. And so, yeah, it's we definitely have a lot of work to do, but we have to continue moving forward for future generations.
Exactly. I wonder if I'm going to put Ayana and Angelica on the spot here in this last minute. Ayana is 16 and Angelica is in her early 20s. Ayana, do you have anything to say to Representative Ruth Buffalo?
Yeah, the work you're doing is so good. I mean, you really seem like you're like for the people, and that's what we really need, especially in like communities. I know that I'm looking to people like you, like older women who are doing good work in the community, and we need more of that.
No, thank you. My name is Angelica, and I'm a young woman here in the local Twin Cities, but I just want to say thank you again. And even you've done a lot of grassroots work to help build our communities, and also to give voices to those who maybe don't have a voice or a platform to be heard, but to move issues up. And even if, you know, we're not in, you know, have these big titles or whatever, it doesn't mean that we have less of an impact on in our communities and then also in surrounding areas. So I just want to let you know that I really appreciate you and the work that you're doing, and also identifying those areas where we're lacking, where there's, you know, not enough resources, not enough you know, talk about certain issues, and then not stopping. And so you're giving me inspiration, and a lot of our viewers as well.
Thank you. Matsugirad. So a few things came to mind real quick is just how important it is to mentor and to lift each other up, especially the next generation, because, you know, all of the experiences that we face, or, you know, my legislative experience really doesn't amount to anything if I'm not helping.
WAUK 540 AM, Franklin's choice for news talk radio. Streaming 24/7 at waukradio.com.
CBS News Special Report. The January 6th panel held one final meeting today on Capitol Hill. Maryland's Jamie Raskin.
We believe that the evidence described by my colleagues today and assembled throughout our hearings warrants a criminal referral of former President Donald J. Trump.
And they made four criminal referrals against him to the Justice Department. Political analyst Thane Rosenbaum.
The insurrection referral is the most serious charge, but it was not made against any of the 900 people who have been charged or already have pled guilty. The committee clearly reserved insurrection for Donald Trump.
But Trump's former lawyer, John Eastman, claims the former president did nothing wrong.
Influencing Congress is every American citizen's constitutional right to petition the government for redress of grievances.
For now, the Justice Department isn't commenting on those criminal referrals. CBS News Special Report. I'm Monica Ricks.
The Shaw 101 FM, New Berlin's choice for news talk radio. Streaming 24/7 at waukradio.com.
For Civic Media, I'm Jane Matner with your headlines. Wisconsin's Republican leaders are again opposing state funding for a passenger rail project that would connect Milwaukee and Madison. The Associated Press reporting Senate Majority Leader Devin LeMahieu opposes the state funding, but has not talked with Madison city leaders about the project. Assembly Speaker Robin Voss has bluntly said, quote, no state funding, unquote, even though the project would be eligible for federal funding through the bipartisan infrastructure bill that passed Congress last year. Republican leaders in Wisconsin say they don't want to be stuck subsidizing the project when the federal money runs out. They acknowledge many people do commute between the two cities but are still opposed to the rail line. Former Governor Scott Walker killed a similar project when he ran for governor in 2010, saying few people would use it. You're listening to The Shaw, 101 FM, WAUK, 540 AM.
Women hear a lot about self-care these days. Advice on ways to relax, exercise, eat healthy, and more. Those are all great. But one of the most important self-care steps we can take is making sure we're financially secure later in life. That means saving money for retirement. It's never too late to start. And it's the kind of self-care that brings peace of mind that lasts. For small steps you can take to save for retirement, visit WeSaySaveIt.org. That's WeSaySaveIt.org. A message from AARP and the Ad Council.
¿Te tiene agobiado tu trabajo? ¿Sueñas con una carrera profesional donde puedas ganar más dinero y te sientas apreciado? Si tu respuesta es afirmativa, entonces Sigma Castings, una división de Sigma Engineered Solutions en Marquesan y Jackson, es tu respuesta. Son más que una empresa, son una familia de expertos dedicados que abarcan continentes. Te harán sentir apreciado de muchas maneras. Por ejemplo, el nivel básico de pago es de $18 por hora con revisiones periódicas de rendimiento. Después de los primeros 90 días de empleo, tendrás derecho a 80 horas de vacaciones más 11 feriados pagados. Aún más, ganarías un bono de $2,000 por permanecer en tu puesto. Te ofrecen un paquete de beneficios robusto, con primas bajas y excelente cobertura, y su plan de retiro 401k te va a impresionar. Se está contratando ahora para el primer turno, lunes a viernes, de 5 de la mañana a 2 de la tarde. Empieza tu nueva carrera ya con Sigma Castings en Marquesan y Jackson. Encuéntralos en Indeed o llama a 920-260-8560 y levántate en la mañana feliz de ir al trabajo.
We've all felt left out. And for people who move to this country, that feeling lasts more than a moment. We can change that. Learn how at belongingbeginswithus.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
These difficult times. In fact, demand has been so high, we created an easy-to-follow guide with the 5 steps to securely work from home. It's yours free. Download our 5 steps to securely work from home now at RymarkIT.com or call 651-328-8900 for a no-cost how-to discussion.
With a look at your AM 950 weather, I'm Patrick Lilia. Snow tapers off, clearing skies, low of 1 above, with wind chills down to 12 below. Then sunny on Tuesday, cold with a high of 5 above, wind chills of 15 below. Whether you're dining in or dining out, Eat Local Minnesota restaurants and food purveyors will make your next meal one to remember. Visit the full list of Eat Local Minnesota restaurants and food purveyors at eatlocalminnesota.com.
You're listening to Native Roots Radio. This is Spirit from Reservation Dogs. Get up and listen.
Welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot. Hey, this portion is supported by the Minnesota Indian Women's Sexual Assault Coalition, and we are really happy to have Dr. Stately on tonight. Dr. Stately, welcome to Dr. Stately. You're the CEO of the Native American Community Clinic, and here in the Twin Cities, Minneapolis, and you do a lot of great things. And you have deep roots here in Indian Country in Minnesota, and it's always great to talk to you. You took over my show last week. We still owe you a paycheck, but you know how things are in the mail these days. It gets a little slow. Ho-wa. Yeah, welcome, Dr. Stately.
Or like, it's probably the Pony Express should probably deliver it in about two years, maybe. Just kidding. thank you for welcoming me. And yes, it's true. I am the executive officer of the Native American Community Clinic, and I have all kinds of really great staff, and I have a wonderful opportunity to do amazing work in partnership with them. So. Privileged to be here.
Yeah, thank you. And, you know, I can't help but start this off in a little gray, kind of cloudy area of how cold it is right now and our relatives out there that are homeless. I just have to put tobacco out and really, you know, think of them. And I know the Native American Community Clinic is right on Franklin, and we have a lot of our relatives that are homeless that are on Franklin Avenue.
Yes, we do. Good reminder for us to try to be good relatives and check on our elders. Many of our elders, sometimes they can't afford to pay for heat. So even though they might be living inside their homes, they may be living in a home. They may not be warm. They may not have the resources to stay warm. So check on them and check to make sure that they have heat, that they have functioning heat. Every winter when it gets really cold, like this kind of weather, you know, like I call it like bone chilling cold, like, you know, everything, like, you know, it's so cold that your Levi's, like they make like your pants, like when you walk, those things crunch too. They're like, that's how you know it's really cold.
Good sound effects. You know,
when your jingle dresses don't even jingle, that's how cold it is. Those things are frozen right in spot. Like checking on them to make sure that they have effective heating implements too. Like a lot of people at this time of year, they'll do things like they'll burn fires inside their houses, right, to stay warm out of desperation, and then they die of carbon monoxide poisoning. There's all kinds of ways in which people, this type of weather makes people more vulnerable, especially if they don't have the resources to be able to, you know, protect themselves from the elements. You know, help your relatives out, bring them food, bring them wood to keep themselves warm if they can, bring them an electric blanket if that's the only thing that will work. You know, bring them some food, some warm food. If they don't have the ability to heat their homes, you can heat their bodies by eating warm food. And just check on them, especially our elders are so vulnerable right now.
Go ahead, Dr. Stately. Sorry.
I was going to say our big houseless population in the Twin Cities and throughout Minnesota is really vulnerable at this time. So if you have the ability to help, lend a sleeping bag, a tent, some warm clothing, some food. It's the season of giving, so give and be a good relative and help other people.
Yeah, that's a great point. you know, when you see somebody out there struggling, throw them a couple bucks, you know? I mean, really, that can go a long way. And there's people out there homeless that are out there not by choice, most of them, you know? And we have to really be respectful as they are human beings and they're our relatives. Also, it's a really good point, Dr. Stately, about, you know, checking in not only with our elders, but our elders for sure, to see if people need anything, because it's crazy, because we're in a recession, your dollar doesn't go as far either, you know, and the bill and gas has gone up, natural gas has gone up, and the wages and these checks that our elders get aren't going up.
Yep, yep. So these are the times in which we need to remember the teachings of our ancestors, which is like, you know, we survive these times, we get through these times by pulling together and sharing what we have and struggling together and protecting one another and doing everything we can to ensure that, you know, that there's a future generation.
Yeah, I wanted to, or do you mind if I add something as well?
Sure, absolutely.
Yeah, we were talking, or you guys were talking about, you know, donating money. One thing I learned from my mom and Shantina, I think is, I believe some of her comments are, you know, donating like water, blankets, remembering water. People get dehydrated in the winter too. In the, you know, where your like little sunglasses areas in your car, sometimes my mom will, and me, I've learned is put a few dollars in there and then, you know, during the time, if I see someone on the corner of the street who needs some, you know, bus money or bus fare, or just some extra money for food or water, I make sure to do that. But then I also seen on Facebook some ladies in the community who have built like Ziploc bags full of like snacks, non-perishable food items, you know, so like a scarf. I also have extra, you know, of those hand warmers, you know, to like put in those bags. And just like a little goodie bag is always a really great idea, as well as feminine hygiene products too for our women who, you know, who need that extra extra care during their monthly cycle.
Yep, yep. There's many of us. NAC certainly has an outreach team that goes out in the evenings and visits our unsheltered relatives. Another number of other organizations too. I believe Indigenous Peoples Task Force has one, American Indian Development Corporation has one, AICDC, and their program, their houseless program, Homeward Bound, MIWC, I believe, has them. So think about all those outreach people too that are sort of kind of out there braving the cold, walking on the avenue and in the streets of South Minneapolis, bringing those things to our relatives, trying to ensure that they're safe and that they're warm, they have something to eat, and they have something that will protect them from the elements. And you know, you don't have to give money. You can keep a case of water bottles in your car. You can keep snacks, extra snacks or extra whatever inside your car, and just hand them to people. You can offer somebody your leftover lunch if you leave, you know, a restaurant and you have half a sandwich that you didn't eat. Offer that to somebody because somebody else could probably use it. So, and it just takes, it's kind of like somebody made a comment in the chat here. It's like, you don't have to have a lot to be able to share. You can share what little you have, and sharing what little we have is exactly what we're taught, which is to give something of ourselves, make an offer, right? So.
Wow. Really good points, both of you, Angelica. I like what you said, too, about having some spare stuff ready to go, because that's one of the things. A lot of times we have to drive around the block, and sometimes it's dangerous, you know, because of traffic to donate to our relatives that really are out there. And, you know, it's really hard right now with the weather the way it is right now. But I'm glad you've named a bunch of organizations in Minneapolis that are really doing an outstanding job, and seeing Dr. Stately how our relatives are doing, and that warms my heart to hear that.
Yeah, I think it's also a period of time when it is very dangerous for those of our relatives who are struggling with addiction. Oftentimes they, they might, because their families or their loved ones, or even maybe they're not living with loved ones or living with other people, they get kicked out or ostracized from the, from a safe space, and they're out there living on the street. In these moments and times, it can be really difficult for them. They're more vulnerable to overdosing and more vulnerable to dying because of the elements. And so just kind of like being, mindful of that, thoughtful about that. If you work for an organization, or you work for or work in a community where you have a fair number of people who are sort of like, you see them come through your doors, or they inhabit the environment where you work, encourage your employer, encourage your coworkers to do things like, get trained to use Narcan, carry Narcan on you. You never know when you may need to resuscitate and help a relative who is accidentally overdosed. And if they start to go into overdose and they're outside in the elements, maybe they don't die from overdose, but they could die from freezing to death. So it's just kind of like, those are important things to try to remember as well.
Right, exactly. And I remember my drinking days too. I could I wear my muscular shirt and a suit coat, and it's 40 degrees below zero, and not really feel it, because that's the way I was at those discos.
Jeez. That image, I can't get that image out of my head of you in a muscular t-shirt and a suit coat. Did you have those little pointy black shoes too that were really big?
Yes. I can't remember what they were called, but they were two colors. What the heck are those called again? Anyways, I'll have to Google that.
They're called wingtips, aren't they? Wingtips?
No? Yep, definitely. Yeah. But I was jamming. The 70s were, 60s, 70s, they were good to me. Yeah. That's why I sobered up in 1984. Hey, Dr. Stately, can you do another segment here with us?
they were good to you, not necessarily all the people around you.
That's right. And
yes, I'll stay with you for another section.
Right on. Hey, we're with Dr. Stately and Helica. And Ayana, and this is Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and we'll be right back after this short break. Please stay with us.
Hey, Ogama, I've been hearing a lot about this term, climate justice. What is that?
Climate justice is recognizing that the negative impacts of climate change don't affect all people equally. It also means transitioning from a fossil fuel-based economy to a more sustainable future. MN350 is one of the groups that's pushing for this transition to protect our futures. You can even get involved, too.
That's great, especially since I'm concerned about pipeline projects like Line 3. How can I help MN350?
Just find them on Facebook or visit mn350.org.
J&S Bean Factory is a native-owned, community-supported, cozy, artsy coffee shop which offers roasted on-site beans, live music, and baked goods. Relax in the beautiful outside patio. City Pages writes, voted top 10 coffee shops. Tucked into a quiet corner of St. Paul's Highland Park neighborhood, this coffee shop roasts beans on-site from the best coffee-growing countries in the world. Located at 1518 Randolph Avenue, St. Paul. The good stuff.
As we head towards colder weather, it's important to make sure you're up to date on vaccinations and protected from COVID-19. The Native American Community Clinic is now administering the updated Pfizer bivalent booster. The updated bivalent booster helps protect against the original COVID-19 strain and against newer Omicron variants. And it will help restore protection that has decreased since previous vaccinations. People age 5 and older are now recommended to get an updated bivalent booster dose at least 2 months after their last COVID-19 shot. That means the bivalent booster may be given after a person's primary series or after their last booster shot, regardless of what brand you received before. Even if you've already had COVID-19, you should get vaccinated. Right now, at the Native American Community Clinic, you can get COVID-19 vaccines, including updated boosters, at the same visit as other vaccines. However, if you've received a recent monkeypox vaccine, you may need to wait 4 weeks before you can get a COVID-19 vaccine, and you should discuss this with your provider. Schedule your vaccination appointment with the Native American Community Clinic by calling 612-872-8086.
This portion of the show is supported by Howling for Wolves. Please join Howling for Wolves on Wolf Day, Tuesday, February 7th, 2023, at the Minnesota State Capitol. You can sign up on Howling for Wolves event page. Howling for Wolves, protecting wolves for future generations.
Howl. Welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot. Dr. Stately, did that sound like four of us howling? Do I have to read this copy again? I think I do. Everybody ready now?
Yeah. Go ahead, yeah.
Hey, this portion of the show is brought to you by Howling for Wolves, bringing wolves and protecting wolves for future generations. Howl! Wow, now that sounded like a bunch of us. That was a good one, you guys. Thank you so much. Hey, I'm here with Dr. Stately, CEO of Native American Community Clinic here in the Twin Cities, Minneapolis. And we are talking about wolves here, you know, and Alice is going to be attending the Wolf Day online. So we're excited, and it's always great to hear Wendy on the show, even though she's not on the show. So it's awesome to hear. So welcome back, Dr. Stately.
Thank you. They wanted me to howl again, and here he is, my wolf baby, right here. Where he is. Came running down the stairs.
I don't know, when we howl.
He expects a treat now, I think, like some kind of message to him.
Here. When we howl, our cat comes. I don't know, I don't get that, but yeah.
That's very odd. Your cat sounds nothing like a wolf.
I know, and she was so
I love
cute.
Your cat. It has like a little whiskey voice. It reminds me of kind of Wiki.
She sounded.
I had an aunt that had a whiskey voice.
Yes, she sounded like a little bird when she was younger, but the older she got, she sounds like she smokes Marlboros and has a little whiskey. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
She was like, you know, she had some cool shades and, you know.
Yeah.
Some nice locks that she wears.
Exactly. Some sacred locks. Hey,
I was going to say that, and I forgot to mention in our last session, so I'll say it now. Like, we are in the midst of like the confluence of three very, very dangerous respiratory conditions right now here in the state of Minnesota, but also across the entire United States. Actually, there's been a little bit of a downward trend, not significant, not great. Don't like throw parties right now. So, but a little bit of a reduction in the hospitalization rate for influenza and also for RSV. And COVID sort of seems to be a little bit like stable. Just kind of want to remind people, like, the things that will prevent you from being able to get sick and transmit like COVID, RSV, or the flu to your relatives is fairly simple things. Get a vaccine if you haven't had one and you're not sick yet, so it prevents you from getting sick. Wash your hands, cover your cough, wear a mask if you're going to be indoors inside with large gatherings of people at like and such, and just do your best to try to protect the people that you love, because I think if you're young, like little babies or older people will be most vulnerable to having one or more of these things at the same time. So
well, this is the best, Wendy and I were talking, but I also heard this is the best year of getting a flu shot because, you know, it's always a crapshoot, a guessing game, you know, what variant in flu, and I guess this is really spot on, so get that flu shot because I got the flu in the, I guess it's my second boost or third boost, I can't even keep track, but yeah, I agree, and they're saying as high as 97%, Dr. Stately, you could probably correct me. If you get your shot, and especially your COVID shot, you're not going to die.
Yeah, well, we can't promise that you're not going to die. Pretty much everybody finds that out at some point in time. But we can promise that you're not going to get sick, seriously sick from COVID, and end up in the hospital or succumb to COVID. But it's sad, but everybody meets their bitter end at some point in time. So, you know, live a happy life and live it up and spread happiness and joy.
Right on. Don't be a Debbie Downer. Go around there, especially this time of year.
Don't be a downer of any kind, Debbie or not of any kind. Debbie or not.
Good one. And Helica, I just saw you sneeze there. How are you feeling now? I know you had you weren't feeling too good for a while there.
Yeah, no, I'm feeling okay. Just some of my relatives are not doing really good, so it's kind of, I guess I'm being a little down about that, but Either way, I'm just, you know, sending prayers and just trying to do my best to stay isolated and pray that, you know, my people and my community members are, you know, doing the same and just taking really good care of themselves and drinking a lot of water and saying a few prayers.
Yeah, that's a good way. Good one. Dr. Stately, I know you see a lot of things year-round at the clinic, but also this time of year has got to be a little rough, too, because there's more chances to be sick, I guess. I don't know. So I just went into the Debbie Downer trail right there. But it's got to be daunting for you and your staff, right?
Yeah. Well, it's been, you know, the last several months and years have been difficult for our staff. Like, you know, the pandemic, COVID, and the impact of COVID on healthcare has been devastating to large health systems and smaller health systems like mine, like ours, right? Because people on the front lines, like, you know, it's not just the doctors either. It's like the people who you sort of see when you first walk in the place, the registration staff, right? They're stressed, they're burned out. People, relatives, when they come into our clinic, sometimes they forget that the people are there to help them. And I know that they've had a hard day. They've had different challenges and things like that. And I really try to encourage my staff to do things like, remember, like, people have had, we don't know what people have gone through to be able to get to the front door and get in the front door. We can probably surmise that a significant number of them have, you know, had to take the bus. They might have had to do multiple things. Maybe they were late dropping their kids off for school. Maybe there were all kinds of challenges. So try to be compassionate. I think one of the things I've been trying to do with my staff and also with the relatives who come to visit our clinic, I try to remind them, like, you know, we're here, we're put on this earth to be good relatives to each other. Let's try to be, give people the benefit of the doubt. Let's...
Yeah. I agree. Dr. Streetly just froze up there in Helica, but being a good relative is where it's at. And you don't know what people are going through. You know, it's hard. And I think that's just a daily thing. You don't know what people are going through. And so it's hard to, you know, it's hard to know that. So treat everyone good, you know, and positive and, you know, it's, I know it's a hard thing to do a lot of times, but try and do that, especially this time of year when it's so cold and there's so many things going on with illness and stuff. And, you know, put some tobacco out there. And, I'm going to put some tobacco out there for your family too, and Helica. It's a hard time of year. You know, the sun goes away, it's dark earlier. You know, those things, we have to be just really nice to people, you know, just to put it in a real simple way. We have to be nice to people.
Yeah.
Yeah, Dr. Stately's back here. Yeah, we're just talking about being nice to people. It's that time of year. You always should be, but you don't know what people are going through. And this time of the year, it's...
Yeah, I mean, I think it's important to try to remember, like, you know, the golden rule is applicable in all situations. And, you know, this will probably be one of the only times you'll ever hear me sort of kind of quote anything that has to do with Christianity. But I think it's a human principle, right? It's like, treat your relatives and treat the people around you the way that you'd want to be treated. Be humble, be respectful, be kind, be compassionate, generous. And those things will be reciprocated to you, I believe. So. And if they can't be that way, they don't show up that way, I don't think responding with, like, anger and resentment and all these other things is helpful. I think giving them love and affection anyway, or compassion, is a good response. They might be in a situation where they never get that. Maybe you're the one person that's ever going to give them that day. And what an amazing and inexpensive and no-cost gift that is.
Women hear a lot about self-care these days. Advice on ways to relax, exercise, eat healthy, and more. Those are all great. But one of the most important self-care steps we can take is making sure we're financially secure later in life. That means saving money for retirement. It's
It's never too late to start, and it's the kind of self-care that brings peace of mind that lasts. For small steps you can take to save for retirement, visit WeSaySaveIt.org. That's WeSaySaveIt.org, a message from AARP and the Ad Council.
This local musical interlude is brought to you by Max Inc. Radio. Kelsey Miles. Listen to Max Inc. Radio every Saturday and Sunday, 6 p.m. to midnight. Download the podcast at maxincradio.com. We are local music.
You are listening to WAUK 540 AM Jackson, W266 DR Waukesha, always streaming on the Civic Media app.